Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Hello, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. This episode, you're going to hear about this month's new releases in Christian romantic suspense. I hope you will enjoy hearing from your favorite romantic suspense authors as they talk about the background of their latest books.
I'm delighted to welcome Jessica Ashley. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense release, Echo. So welcome to my show, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what lie does your heroine believe in this story?
So she has no memory of who she is. And with every little piece of evidence that they uncover, like every new clue that they find, she begins to believe that she's not a good person. And so she battles with that through most of the story, is that inside she feels like she wants to do the right thing, but all of the things that they're finding, the clues that point to who she was, are not looking so great. That's what she's battling with.
And what about your hero? What is his biggest regret in this story?
So his is the woman that he wasn't able to save. So he missed a bit of evidence, like, and it wasn't even really evidence. It's more of a feeling that he should have followed up, and he didn't, and that cost her her life. And he has been unable to move past that.
Oh, yeah, that would be a regret. I love how we torture our heroes and heroines. Okay, but let's talk about your villain in this story. What is your villain's motivation?
His is driven by fear. So he, without giving too much away, he did something he shouldn't have done and got caught. And now he is trying desperately to get rid of the one person who knows who he really is and what he's done. He just doesn't realize that she has no idea who she is. So it's he's driven by his own fear. He's terrified of being caught.
And what about the story setting? Why this particular setting for this book?
I love small towns. I love the camaraderie and the, you know, the familial feel and all of that. And so I chose a small town in Texas because I'm in Texas and I love the state. And so I wanted to just really bring to life the small town feel, the positive small town feel. Because, you know, sometimes small towns have very negative things. That's why. Because I love a good small town.
Those can be really good. And what about the hardest part of writing this book? What did you struggle with maybe a little bit in this writing this book?
The hardest part was knowing her better than she knows herself and trying to drop breadcrumbs that'll lead the reader to the same type of reveal that she gets without revealing too much. And so it was a struggle because that internal monologue that, you know, characters have, that we all have, where we're going through our past and we're thinking about things, she didn't have that because she didn't know who she was. And so it was both fun because I got to really weave it in there. It was a new challenge for me, but it was also rather difficult.
That is, you know, I like to leave the breadcrumbs and the suspense and everything too. So it always is that balance and that challenge. So thank you for sharing that with us today. So we're going to close our short time together with what is Echo's tagline?
So Echo's tagline is a woman who doesn't remember her past and the hero who can't outrun his.
Ah, I love that. That's great. Well, I know our listeners will be really excited to read this when it's out. So thank you for sharing about your book.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Next up, I have Jamie Jo Wright, and her latest book is The Tempest at Annabelle's Lighthouse. So welcome back to my show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So who is the most important person in your heroine's life in this particular story?
You know, I think that's an interesting question because my heroine is actually struggling with lost memories. She's not entirely sure who she is. And so that question is really kind of one she's even asking herself. Like, who am I? Who are the people that are important to me and are most important? And that really becomes part of the mystery of this story, is her journey to find out where she's from, who she can trust, who she can't trust. And really, when you don't have your memories, that's a scary place to be because you think you can trust someone and then you can't.
Yeah, so true. And what about your hero? And what character flaw does he want to overcome in this book?
Yeah, he's in a tough position because he meets our heroine and he's like, you know, he's trying to help her figure out who she is. And at the same time, he knows things. And so his character flaw is knowing when he should be honest and not always wanting to be honest. Being afraid of telling the truth because of the repercussions that will come from it. And so he keeps a lot of things to himself that probably could have solved some issues, maybe, if he hadn't.
And what about the villain? What motivates your villain in this story?
Yeah, so the villain is definitely motivated by really jealousy and lost love. It's really a story of love, which is kind of funny because I'm not known for writing love stories. But on the flip side, when you explore the theme of love, there's so many types of, quote, love, unquote, that are not healthy. There's the obsessive, there's the jealous, there's the possessive, there's the controlling. And he's one of those individuals who really does not understand what love is, except for what he believes it should be, which is very self-serving.
Right. It can get us into trouble when we when we don't have the right view.
I know.
What about the story setting? Why did you have to pick this particular setting? I'm going to go on a limb here and say there's a lighthouse involved.
There is a lighthouse involved. Wow. How did you
guess? So good.
Well, it's kind of funny. I grew up going to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. My dad was raised there for a good portion of his life. And so it's kind of family stomping grounds. And, you know, when you think of lighthouses, a lot of times you think of the East or the West Coast lighthouses.
Mm-hmm.
And really on the Great Lakes, there's a plethora of lighthouses. But they're very different than the East or West Coast lighthouses. They're not as tall. They're more squat. And they're fun to explore. And I've always wanted to write a lighthouse story based on the shores of Lake Superior, which is where I used to play as a kid, one of my favorite places on earth. And I remember, you know, sitting in a cabin reading ghost stories with the lake roaring outside the patio window and the lighthouse in the distance. So it was just something that I had to write at some point in my life. And I guess that point is now.
Yeah, I guess so.
no going back now. It's been published. So.
I know. You can't. There's no going back now.
Right.
I mean, it's already out there. Already there. But now you can with that and tell us why this particular story. You told us why the location. Now, why this particular story did you have to write?
Yeah. So this story kind of came about. I was hearing a lot of television shows and books coming out talking about self-care. And the concept of self-care, which isn't, I want to be careful, it's not necessarily a bad concept from the standpoint that we do need to care for ourselves and be good stewards with what God has given us. On the flip side, so often it becomes almost like a selfish, introspective thing where I need to get away. I need to do what's best for me. And if I don't get myself straightened up first, I can't serve others first.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if that, I don't agree with that being 100% biblical. From the standpoint, I don't think that's how Christ worked. I mean, he did take moments where he went off and rested because his body required rest, yes. But he served, and he served, and he sacrificed. And when you study the example of love being self-sacrificial, it doesn't necessarily coincide very well with self-care and self-love. And so I kind of wanted to explore that theme of love again. And how do we know what the balance is? And when are we taking rather than giving? And what are the consequences when we're so focused on making sure that ourself is taken care of that we don't realize how much we're stealing from the ones that we love?
Yeah, so important. And that's a great segue into our last question, which is, what's one thing you want readers to know about the Tempest at Annabelle's Lighthouse?
Yeah, well, you know what? A lot of people say Jamie Jill writes right horror. And I do want to clarify, this isn't like slashy, haunted, jump scare, awful horror. I do want people to know when they read my books that they're going to have creepy elements. They're going to have haunting elements. It's very old-fashioned gothic. Kind of literary, gothic, poetic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a story. There's always a story that I hope readers will read and be able to think about and chew on for a long time after you close the book. And it's not meant to just scare you, but it's meant to make you think in a good way. And I really hope they can enjoy that. And it's also inspired by Edgar Allan Poe's Annabel Lee. So I definitely have a lot of Edgar Allan Poe influence in this book.
Yeah, one of my favorite poems by him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing about your book today. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
I'm delighted to welcome back Megan Biesing. She's going to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Rescued Heart. So welcome back to my show, Megan.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how does your heroine feel about love at the start of this story?
At the start of the story, love has left her misguided and pretty much at rock bottom, which is where she needed to be to find the right direction. But the bad thing is she is in the public eye because she's an actress. So the whole world is seeing all her bad decisions and even the good and bad, but also the lies that the story has told behind the scenes. So she is not in a great place at the start of the story.
Oh, I have a feeling your hero might help her with that.
I hope so, yes.
So if your hero could have a superpower, what would it be?
I think he'd want to have the ability to give children a place to feel loved in a home that they have love in. Eddie didn't have the best upbringing or childhood, and so he strives in his daily life to give children away from the pain that he had to endure. So I think that's what his superpower would be.
Ah, I love it. That's a great superpower. Don't we all want that superpower? I think we all do.
I know. I wish we could have that, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, that and flying. I think I would like to fly as a person. But anyway.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
More than one, okay?
Yeah, we can have more than one, right. It's our world. We can do what we want.
That's right.
So what about your villain? What motivates your villain in this story?
I hate to give too much away because I try really hard to keep
sure.
The reader guessing. So I'll just give like words, and those words would be like greed and revenge, a lover of self and power. That's what I'll say.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I love cloaking villains, and I love sometimes knowing who they are. So both ways can work really well. So for you, tell us where the book was set and what was the biggest challenge in writing the book in that setting.
So this is in Lisa Phillips's Last Chance County world. And so it was really nice to go back to, I've already written a book in her world before. So it's nice to be back there in the fire station because it's a firehouse book. But this time it was also a lot on the movie set. And so I'd written some movie stuff before in my last book. However, this one had a lot more in it. And so I stressed over wanting to get those details correct. And so I had to do a lot more digging. And so I had a lot more worry over those. So that was probably the hardest part for me to write.
And what about the easiest part of writing this book?
The easiest part for me was there's lots of children in this book. There's like this little baseball team. And of course, Eddie is trying to help all these kids. And so seeing their little personalities shine and then getting to write their little happily ever afters too, that was probably my favorite part.
Ah, yes. I do like writing happily ever afters for our characters. Those are such a fun thing to do. Yeah, it is. So we're going to close our short time together with what's one thing you want readers to know about your book?
A Rescue Heart is a story mainly about finding true identity and how God sees our heart and loves and rescues us anyways.
Ah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your book on my show today.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for having me.
I am delighted to welcome back Terry Reed to my show to talk about her latest romantic suspense, Standing Watch. So welcome back, Terry.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So in this book,
about Standing Watch.
I know. I love talking about these books. It's just so much fun. Love hearing about the characters and everything. So we're going to start with your heroine. What lie does she believe in this book?
So my heroine, her name is Eden. She believes she'll only be loved if she's helpful. She's a natural born caretaker, and her sense of self-worth comes from caring for others, and that includes Mount Rushmore, where she's a park ranger.
Ooh, cool. I like park rangers. I love stories with park rangers, so it's a personal fun for me, so that's great.
Right, yeah.
So what about your hero? What is his first reaction in an emergency situation?
It's to strategize. He's very dogged in his job. He's a natural-born leader and a troubleshooter, though he's very cautious, especially with his emotions.
What about your villain? What is motivating your villain in this story?
Oh, this guy, he likes to be in control, and when things don't go his way, he lashes out. And that's kind of his big bugaboo, and when things don't work out,
yeah.
I'm in trouble.
I have a feeling that things are not going to be working out for him.
They are not.
Well, this is a good thing, though, because villains need to be caught, so it's a good thing. What about the setting? You mentioned where she was a park ranger, but how does the setting move the story forward?
Well, because she is a park ranger, the story opens in the park, and she witnesses a murder, and she's not going to give up her job or her, you know, her calling to be in the park, so her husband her estranged husband has to come and protect her in the park. And so it was really fun to use the different aspects of Mount Rushmore, places I've never been. It's on my bucket list, but doing the research was really fun, learning about the different little areas of the park and the platforms and the steps and how many steps there are. And it was fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is loads of fun. It's on my bucket list too, Terry, to go see that one day. What about the underlying positive message of Standing Watch?
So the underlying positive message, I would say, is that with faith and trust and the willingness to let go of the past, we can overcome the debilitating fear, sorry. Can't read my own writing.
It's okay.
So a lot of what's happening in the story between the hero and heroine has to do with the past and letting fear take over and create division and conflict that needs to be dealt with. And sometimes that's hard to do, but with enough faith and trust and willingness, we can do it.
Yeah, that is so true. And I love how we can wrap those biblical truths into our books for our characters to wrestle with, because I always learn so much when I have them, when I write things like that. Well, we have just time for one last question. Is what is one thing you want readers to know about Standing Watch?
Well, this is the third book in the Dakota Canine Unit series. And each book brings us closer to discovering the overarching mystery of who killed one of the team members, which happens before the stories all open. And so this is book three, so we've been introduced to characters, and we get a little bit of more information about the mystery, and hopefully readers will continue on and read all the way through.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like a neat book and a good idea to keep the series very interesting and going. So thank you so much for sharing about it on my show today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.